Brethren, God has given you and me so much to be thankful for. And he lets us share in what he is doing. So you and me should humble ourselves before our God and be so thankful for what he has given to you and me. And just as we heard in the last sermon about Hezekiah, who was blessed for his obedience, we understand that he made some mistakes, but also saw where he repented. And that's what happens to you and me also. We make mistakes, but we repent. So we are the most blessed people upon the face of this earth because of what Joshua the Christ did for you and me, so that we can repent and go before our God. And I hope every one of us understands how blessed we are to have that blessing from our God and from what Joshua the Christ did for you and me. And I don't think we fully grasp it, but we can try to appreciate what God has let us see. And I hope we understand that God has been blessing us to see and understand that his kingdom will come to this earth. And he will set up the government of God upon this earth. And I hope we are thankful for that understanding. And I hope we are thankful. So the name of the sermon today will be Thankful. And we should understand that we are on God's time. And it is the great God of this universe that is leading you and me. And we understand that everything will take place in its time, when it's God's time. So when we look at the world scene on what is taking place, we can see that World War III is imminent. It is on the horizon because we can see the hostility that is there. Even though the Trumps are there, Donald Trump, the president of the U.S., is there at the G20 summit today. And they're trying to work out a plan where they can work in peace with the other nations, the other countries. But we know how that will turn out in the end. The U.S. almost went to war with Iran in the past week. And all it will take is a spark like that for World War III to be on the horizon for you and me. And we can see the intensity that is there, especially with Iran. And all you have to do is turn on the news to see the hostility that is there. But our leaders are talking about peace and how to work with one another. But we know the underlying story of what is about to take place. So you and me have so much to be thankful for. The understanding that God has given you of what is ahead for mankind. God lets us see what he wants to let us see at the time. And God reserves the right to tell us to turn right or turn left. And we've experienced that very thing. But it should be our desire to follow God wherever that may lead you and me. So what we do, we move forward. And we understand that we are on God's time. But we can look around at this world and see that the world does not know anything about the great God of this universe and his Son. They don't understand anything about the purpose and plan of our God and what God is doing and is about to do. There is a spirit world that we understand that does not like God's plan for mankind. And you and me understand that it is about our minds that we have to protect. It's the way we think. That's what we have to protect. God says through this book that we are to bring every thought into captivity. And that's what Paul meant when he said it was by the mind that he served his God. So what you and me understand those comments that Paul made. And we understand that this flesh is weak. So that is why you and me have to be on guard because of this flesh that is so weak, to guard our mind. And we've seen so many that did not do that very thing. And they are no longer amongst you and me. That's the result. God lets us know about this being that opposed the great God of this universe. God lets us know that he is our adversary. We understand that if we stay close to God, that he will have no power over you and me. God gave us understanding about that being, of who and what he is. And God lets us know, his people, that his time is fast approaching, when God will remove him for 1,000 years. And then finally, forever. So that is the understanding that God has given to you and me about his plan for mankind. He's also given us understanding about this human nature that we all have. And that is our enemy, that human nature that Paul tells us about, that is attached to this man. That's what we have to overcome, that human nature, or it will take you out of God's church. So we find ourselves in that battle for the mind always. We understand that Satan led 1/3 of the angelic beings to rebel against their God, their creator. And we understand that their minds became perverted and they followed Satan and chose a different way than God's way. And they hate what God is doing with man. But there are two-thirds that did not rebel. And they are working with God to bring about his plan to fruition. And you and me are part of that plan. So when we look at God's way of life, God has a way of life that you and me are to live. We strive to keep his commandments. And we strive to keep sin out of our lives. And we strive to keep it out. And it is an awesome plan that God has for mankind to bring about peace. And the leaders that are meeting at that G20 has no idea of what real peace is. Excuse me. And to bring that peace about, something has to happen to mankind. Atonement has to take place. Atonement has to take place. God wants you and me to become of one mind, and that's where he's working today to bring it about. We're all to think alike. And God gave us a way of life, and he gave us commandments to live by. And those commandments are our guide. And we are to become obedient to those laws. And we are to be becoming of one mind with the great God of this universe. You and me find ourselves at the end of an age. And we understand that we are facing the most destructive times that has ever faced mankind. Our lives can so change in an instant. That's the times that you and me live in. And our minds cannot comprehend that change. We can think about it, but that's about all we can do at this time because we cannot comprehend that change. We cannot comprehend how much destruction can take place at the blink of an eye. In the book of Corinthians, it says, you don't have to turn there. It says, let he who thinks take heed lest he fall. So when we think we have a pretty good understanding of where we are spiritually at any time and in any situation, it's dangerous when we think we stand. God tells you and me to take heed unless we fall. We've seen it over and over. We've seen it take place. And we've seen it when this mind takes a turn. It's like you flip a switch. And if you don't repent quickly, you will cut yourself off from the great God of this universe. And it's like Ron said in the last sermon, it's like the body snatchers that come through. And there are some in this room that experience that very thing. And they are not the same person anymore. And it's an awesome thing they experience. And I know some in this room have not ever experienced that. But we have seen how some can become so hostile when that mind turns. We've lived that. And we've seen how respect is lost for those that live God's way of life. God says that many have been called and few have been chosen. But to do that very thing, we have to experience some things about this human nature. Those that will be there at the end. So when we look around at what has taken place just amongst mankind, man has lost a mutual respect in this world, Satan's world. We can look at the TV and we can look at our government at work here in the U.S. We can look at the politicians and how nasty they have become to one another. But that will begin to change in God's world. And once people begin to live God's way of life, respect for one another will be restored. Because of the way of life that will be taught, the way to deal with one another. And you and I are being taught about that very thing today. Can we see what that in itself would just do to mankind? Just a mutual respect for one another. After 1,100 years, that mutual respect will be restored forever, for an eternity. But for now, there's not much respect among mankind. There's not much respect among the nations of this world. They just all put on a front. But we know the underlying thoughts and what is taking place. And when we look at marriages today, what marriage has evolved into. Most marriages have lost respect for one another in their marriage. And those that are in those marriages most of the time become hostile to one another and lose respect for one another. And so divorce rates are so rampant. But marriage is a beautiful, beautiful thing when done correctly, when it's done God's way. But marriage is taken so lightly today. And like I said, respect is gone out of most marriages today, and they end in divorce. Human emotions are how most people judge today in Satan's world. Not by what is right or wrong, because God's commandments are not obeyed. And human emotions are how most of mankind works today. And that's the way they think, with their emotions. And right or wrong never enters the picture, because mankind does not know what is right and what is wrong. And without God and His way of life, mankind does not have the understanding of what right and wrong is. That's the only way you can have that knowledge. And you are so blessed to have that bit of knowledge. We can see that this whole world today is in darkness. And that's the way that God explains it. And this is where we find ourselves in time, when the whole world is in darkness, and when we are on the verge of a new world. We can see it. And we are the most blessed of all of mankind to understand that a new world is coming. And God is leading you and me into that new world, a new age, when all of a sudden God's Spirit will be here upon this earth. And that plan paints you and me a beautiful picture of what is about to take place upon this earth for mankind. But that is what God has given to you, that understanding. His church. And He has given us understanding of His awesome plan for mankind and what it is. And we are at this moment of time when we are just about there. We're on the threshold of that new age being here. So we go forward. We follow God. That's what we do until we are there. I've told this before, but I remember the very first book we read. We were talking about it earlier. And someone was asking me about how old I was when I came into the church. And I'm not going to get onto the age situation. I'm way over the hill. I'm on borrowed time, let me put it that way. But I remember the very first book that I read, The U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. And that was in 1974, I believe. And I believed every word of what I had read. And I didn't go to church anywhere. We would let our children wander off sometimes, you know, to Sunday school with some friends. But we were not churchgoers at that time. But I do remember hearing Mr. Armstrong late at night when my wife and I was coming home from Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I was going to school. And we would come home on the weekends and we would hear Mr. Armstrong on an old radio in an old vehicle that used about as much oil as it did gas. And most of you probably don't know about that type of radios today, because we've progressed a long way from that age. But we would run down the hill, because those radios in those days would fade out. So you would have to run down and run back up to hear what Mr. Armstrong was saying. And we did not have interstate highways then. So that'll let you know a little bit about my age. And I know that that would shock most of you that we never had interstate highways, the youngsters in here. But I knew that that book was true. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. And let's begin there today. We know that this world is in pain, even though they don't know it. God calls it what it is. He likens it to birth pains. The birth pains of a child being born. And we understand when Satan came upon the scene to Adam and Eve, we understand that man has lived in darkness ever since, except for the ones that God has called down through time, out of that darkness. We are so blessed to have the knowledge, the understanding of what has taken place, and to be a part of that plan. And it should bring you to your knees to understand what you understand. You have more understanding than any of those down through time. God says that you can be a part of restoring the correct way of life, where respect will be restored again. Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll begin in verse 12. And let's notice what's being said. And they that be of you shall build the old waste places. So let's notice what's being said, and will raise up the foundation of many generations. We know that there will be those that will live into this age. And it says you will build the old waste places. And some will get to be a part of changing, whether you're a part of the 144,000 or those that live into that age. And those that live in the millennium will get to be a part of that. It's an awesome thing to be blessed with that, just to live in that age. And let's notice, and will raise up the foundation of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. So we are blessed to be a part of what this is talking about. The examples about repairing the wall that were written in God's book a long time ago about that wall. And there will be some that will be blessed to repair what Isaiah is speaking about, to be a part of those that God allows to be there. We can see the finish line. Satan will be chained. And this is speaking about a beautiful picture for you and me, those that will be there, to raise up the foundation of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths. So what this is saying, the paths, we understand what it's speaking about, the way to walk in, the way to live, the way that Christ said to dwell in, to abide in, just like he said on Passover night. And it paints you and me a beautiful picture when we see it and when we understand it. So you and me are blessed to be a part of that understanding. And there will be those at the beginning of that new age, the beginning of that new world. And we will raise up the foundations, the repair of the breach, and the restore of those paths to bring about that respect, to bring about a way of life. So it paints you and me a picture of God's plan. So we could focus upon those many blessings that you and me have that God has poured out upon us since we were called. And it's not always easy in this life to face some of the choices that we have to face. We saw how Hezekiah had to make tough decisions in his lifetime. And I cannot imagine having to make that kind of a decision, where all the people that Hezekiah represented could be slaughtered by a powerful nation that could come down and just wipe all of them out. So he had to make some tough decisions. But there have been many blessings through obedience that we learn as we go through those choices that we make. And thankfully, we are at the end of this age when a being will be chained. And World War III could have happened just a few days ago. We could be on God's time. So let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 1. Colossians chapter 2. And let's Let's look at what Paul was saying to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. And Paul was speaking to them, and he said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I would have for you and for them in Laodicea." So that's who he was speaking to. And he said, "For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So we know that Paul could not get around like we do today. And Paul had to travel on a donkey, or either walk, or maybe in some cases, maybe he would have a horse to ride upon. But Paul could not travel like we do today, and his traveling was not as pleasant for him. We travel on planes and vehicles with air conditioning today. And most have good seats, even though we complain about those sometimes. But compared to what Paul's life was in his day, we are very blessed in the age that we live in. Paul was speaking about some of the brethren that had seen him and some had not seen him. So that's what Paul was addressing. And he's talking to those that had not seen him. But they had seen the letters that they had received, those letters that Paul had sent out to the different areas. In verse 2, we see what Paul was saying. And some of them had never actually met Paul. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love upon all riches, a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God." So that's what Paul was addressing. And he was addressing the mystery that you and I understand. So we understand that Paul used this mystery to discuss things that were hidden. And you and me understand that they are hidden today in our age upon this world. Just like God told us that this world is in darkness. So that's what Paul was addressing to them, that mystery of God. The understanding that you and me have about that mystery. And these are the things that you and me cannot share at any time, that mystery that Paul was addressing. Because they cannot understand it. And it is hidden to this world. And it is a mystery. We know that we cannot share the understanding that we have with anyone in this world, anyone in Satan's world, unless they have been called and drawn by the great God of this universe. And let's notice how Paul was addressing it. "The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So we can see and understand how we have the truth, how we receive that truth. And it is the great God of this universe that drawed you and me and began to open our minds. And let's notice what else Paul said. "And this I say, lest anyone should beguile you with enticing words," persuasive arguments. So Paul is telling them to be careful. And he's telling them because Satan is like a roaring lion. And who else but the church of God does he want to destroy at this time? It's Satan that wants to get to you and me. He's got the rest of this world at this time. And he is a master of deception. So this is a warning that Paul is giving to those that God had opened their minds up to his truth, to that mystery. So Paul is warning them that they should stay close to God. And that's our warning today. To stay close to God, and that being will not have any control over you and me. It's very simple. That's all we have to do. So Paul is telling them to be careful, and he's telling them that it is a dangerous, dangerous world. And we have seen so many succumb to that very, very thing that Paul is addressing. Many that have walked side by side with you and me are no longer in God's church. Verse 5. Paul tells them, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order in the," let's notice, "in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So we can see that it is a wonderful thing to obey our God and to stand fast. That's what's being addressed. Stand fast in what you know. Stand fast in that understanding that God has given to you. And be thankful for what God has done for you. And we understand that the measure of faith was given to each one. Each one that God has called and given His Spirit to. So that you could have that understanding. And it's just like when I read the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. I knew it was true. I didn't have to open the Bible. I knew it was true. And some of you have just read a book and you also know that what you read was true. Some of you sitting in this room since 2008 in that era. And at that time, I didn't know very much about the Bible. But then I realized I had to make a choice after I read that book to start living by what I had learned out of that book just that short period of time. I knew I had decisions to make in my life. So we do choose and we do have choices, and it is always our choice. It's nobody else's. God does not force anyone to obey Him. And when we become obedient, we become stronger as we go forward and follow our God wherever that might take us. And my wife and I have made a lot of turns since we have been in God's church. But we have always continued to go forward. I'll never forget standing on those steps in 1994 after that sermon was given in Atlanta, Georgia. And I knew I had to make a choice at that very moment in time. And my wife looked at one another and we made that choice. And we knew what we were going to do. So let's notice what else is being said from Paul. And that you're able to do with the steadfastness of your faith. Paul is saying that we just keep going forward. As God says, to go forward. Not want to go back as some of the ancient Israelites wanted to do when God was delivering them. We always go forward. And we continue to move forward in the truth. The present truth. That's not changed. That's what we do. We continue to watch, though, as we go through God's plan. That's the reason we look at the world scene. We are to watch what is taking place. And we can see the events that are unfolding around us. And they may not understand it, but some leaders, they know what's on the horizon. They understand that it is imminent and it is a powder keg. And I don't see how anyone could deny that very thing. We see this world and we understand that it is dying right before our eyes. Satan's world is dying, and I hope you can see it. The destruction of Satan's world is imminent, and a new world is on the horizon. Let's notice verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Joshua the Lord, so walk in Him. So, what Paul is telling us to just do it. Walk in Him. That's what Paul is admonishing them to do. Walk in this way of life. It's not complicated. It's actually very simple. So you and me should understand how blessed we are to have such a simple plan to follow. And be thankful for what the understanding that you have about God's plan. Paul is telling us to walk in God's way of life and let God do the leading. We don't have to figure it out and we don't have to know every turn. I think God has a GPS that is very accurate. And we cannot always look at His GPS. But I know that that GPS is very accurate. And I know that God understands and knows what He is doing. And He knows what's best for you and me. And He knows how to lead you and me. And it says, rooted and built up in Him. In other words, in Joshua Christ and in God, and established in the faith. In other words, grounded in what we believe. Grounded in what has God, what God has given to you and me. All the truths that He has given to you and me. As you have been taught. Abounding therein, let's notice, with thanksgiving. Thankful for that understanding. Thankful for those truths that you have. And it's an important thing to grasp what we've been given, because we have been given so much. so much more than any that have lived in time. And we don't think about that sometimes. But many have wanted to know what you know. God is building a family that will eventually have no sin. And it's hard to comprehend that very thing, a family without any sin. So think about it. A family with no sin. Atonement. At one with the great God of this universe. That's what it will be, with no sin. And it's a hard thing to comprehend, a world with no sin. Where respect will be there for an eternity. Where we can deal with one another in peace, peace forever. But for now, you and me have a way that we live in the body of Christ so that we can become at one with our God. So notice verse 8. Paul is constantly warning, and he's saying, beware. It's what Paul was saying in his day, but it's the same in our day. Lest anyone spoil you. And sometimes other Bibles, and when you go back and look at the meaning, it can mean a little more than what the actual word says. And another Bible says it this way, see to it then that no one enslaves you. So in other words, better said, I guess, would be take you captive. That's what it would mean, and that's what it's talking about. And it says, beware lest anyone take you captive. That's better said. Because that's what Paul is telling them, because we understand what Paul is saying, because you and me can go back into captivity just like that. When that mind turns, and we've seen it. We've seen that flip, that switch get flipped. So this is what Paul is warning them. It's a good warning for you and me today. And it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are also circumcised. Let's notice, with the circumcision made without hands. So what this is telling us, it's about the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision made without hands. And it is done by the great God of this universe. That's how it's done, the circumcision of the heart. In whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hand. Let's notice the rest. In the putting off the body of sins, the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. So it's something that is done spiritually. And it's to get rid of those sins, to cover those sins. And it's about the mind when we really understand. And that's all that is left when we die. That's all we have, is our mind that hopefully has been begotten of the great God of this universe. So let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we are told to do something. And the writer wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, rejoice in God's way of life. And always be thankful. And when we are thankful, it makes our ability to rejoice, it makes it much easier. Most of us live for the Sabbath when God feeds us. And it says, the King James Version says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. And the New James says, anxious. And that says it better, not to be anxious or over anxious, may be said. And that's why we are to focus where we should be focused. To focus on God, to follow God, and to follow where He is leading you and me. God did not call His church to fail, or those that He has called down through time. He has called us to succeed. And He has a plan to bring it about. And we know the end of the story. We know the end of God's plan at this time. The plan to bring God to bring man into His family. Those that will be Elohim at the end with no sin. And it's just as Isaiah said, God said that He would have a people that would be here to raise up the foundations of many generations. And they would be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths, the paths that people or mankind is to dwell in, to abide in. So we know the end of the book. We know what happens at the end. And if we continue to go forward and follow God and let Him have all these words and use His GPS to tell us where we need to go, God tells you and me not to be anxious. And in my heading in this Bible, it says, be anxious for nothing. Think these thoughts. That's what was written in the version that I was using. And it says back in verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, same thing that so many has been told in the past. When Joshua went into the promised land, we know what God told him, to stand fast. And so many other of God's servants have been told the same thing, to stand fast. And don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, let's notice, by and through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So that's how you and me are to do it, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And we are to let our requests be known to our God. And the peace of God, let's notice, and this is something that we receive from God, and you and me do have this very sense of peace that He's speaking about. And it says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, because nobody else in the world understands what you have, that peace. And let's notice, the peace of God which surpasses all understandings will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Joshua. That's how it will be done, that peace. God says that He will guard it, that peace, through Joshua Christ, that peace that you and me have. And that is why we have to stay close to God, to protect the mind, to never leave, never lose what this writer is speaking about. We understand this, and we look forward to the millennium when Joshua Christ will come and set up the kingdom of God to this earth and set up the government of God, and so many others can understand that peace that you have. And He will put that being in His prison, so that repair that Isaiah is talking about can begin. So God is preparing for you and me for what is ahead. So we go forward preparing for the kingdom of God, just as our name says, to raise up those foundations of many generations, to begin the process. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths, the paths that you are to dwell in, to abide in. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. We know this by heart, but it's so comforting to hear these words over and over, because it's something that we don't always think about every day. We know it's there, and we know it's coming. But Isaiah tells us about what's in our future. And this tells you and me what we are preparing for, God's kingdom. And it's where Isaiah wrote about. And we are here to repair the paths to dwell in. That's what will take place, that Isaiah is speaking about. And it will come to pass in the last days. So that's you and me. That's where we find ourselves at in our time upon this earth. We know that this transition will take place. And it is God that gives you the ability to see and understand that transition that will take place to bring about a new age upon this earth. And it says it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Eternal's house, speaking about the kingdom of God, the government of God, that's the mountain that Isaiah is speaking about. Mount Zion and other places. We know the different names that it's used, but we know that it means on top of all the nations, all those people that are at that G20 summit that are striving to deal with one another, to bring about their form of peace, They have no understanding of what you have about this very thing, what is coming to this earth. They are at a total loss to bring about peace. Man cannot bring about peace. Only what Isaiah is talking about can bring peace to mankind. And that means when God's government is here upon this earth, God's kingdom, when it will be exalted upon the hills and the nations will flow unto it, as Isaiah said, that's God's plan to bring about peace. And it shall be exalted above the hills and all nations will flow unto it. And many will go and say, let's come and go up to the mountain of the eternal. So mankind will slowly begin to change. Some at the very beginning will want to become a part of this kingdom. And we know the story. We know that some will not come up at the very beginning. But they will come to learn. And they will come to understand what God is offering them. And if not, we know about the end, the lake of fire that is there for those that do not want God's way of life and what God will offer them. So they will say, many will go up and say, and let us go up to the mountain of the eternal, because they want to learn more about their God, to the house of the God of Jacob. And let's notice, he will teach us of his ways. Those paths that was being spoken about, the way to walk in, the way to dwell in, the way to abide in, as Christ told us about on Passover night. It's a wonderful time upon this earth when that takes place. And the ways of God will begin to be taught. Those truths that you know now, they will begin to be taught. And they will begin to learn God's way of life, to learn what God will offer them, to learn that they can become a part of God's family, to live for in eternity. But they will have to go through the same thing that every one of you have had to go through. And it will be much easier for them because of that being that will be chained. And let's notice, for out of Zion will go forth the law. So this paints you and me a picture that we understand. And the word of eternal from Jerusalem, the city of peace. And he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. And after all the horrors of World War III that we are on the verge of, after all those horrors have passed away, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not lift up sword against nation anymore. God will not allow it anymore. War is gone. It's a time to begin to learn peace. It's a time to learn how to have respect for one another. It's a time to learn to have a correct marriage, how to live life, God's way of life. And we look so forward to that time. No time of war when nation will not rise up anymore. And then that repair of the breach that was spoken about, and that restore of paths that was spoken about, will be restored to this earth. And peace will begin to finally be restored to mankind. But for now, that's not the world that you and me live in. They continue to build these weapons, horrible weapons that do nothing but kill masses of people. That's man's mind at this time, to build those nuclear weapons. Why would you want that type of weapon anyway? So we understand man's mind is what, and what is there, in what is about to take place. We know the nations that are there, North Korea, India, Pakistan, China, all of those have those horrible weapons that can kill masses and masses of people in an instant. We see that the hostility of the nations continue to escalate. Don't let that G20 fool you. They are not restoring peace to this world. You have that understanding. We're on a countdown to that destruction. We were hoping that we would not have to live through some of this destruction. We hope that God would be merciful. that this would come about in a very small period of time. But whatever God's plan is, we move forward and we follow God. And if we are to live through it, so be it. But once those weapons go off, it will be a different world for mankind. We understand what will take place. Man will begin to be humbled because of that destruction. Because that's what it will take to get man's attention. And with that in mind, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's look at some scriptures about God's plan. Because we can see the picture that is taking place. We have understanding. And when we listen to the news, we know that there's not much good news anymore. So God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, God tells us, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Joshua Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Joshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. We know these scriptures. We know them by heart. And we understand what this is saying. God tells us there will be some alive at the return of His Son. And it says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we understand God's plan. We understand that there will be 144,000 that will join Christ in the air and descend at the Mount of Olives. We understand that plan. We understand also that there will be some that live into the millennium. To bring in the repair of that breach, the restorer of those paths will begin for mankind to learn the true way of peace. Not the way that man is talking about in that G20. That each wants to his own advantage. So here we see God telling us through his word that some would be caught up in the air. And then there would be some that would live until the millennium. We know that plan. And it says comfort each other with those words because of the understanding that you have. And be thankful for that knowledge. Chapter 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and seasons, you have no need that I should write to you, for you know, you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant one, and they will not escape. So we see those birth pains. We see that G20 taking place. We know they are talking about peace, but we know the underlying story. Is to bring about what each nation wants that will complement that nation. And real peace is not really their agenda. God tells you and me that we are not in darkness. You and me understand that God has had a plan from the very beginning for mankind. So God says that we are not in darkness because He has opened your mind to that plan. God tells us that we are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, not of darkness, as God had it written in His book. God tells you and me to watch and be sober. So when we do is what God says here, when we watch and we are sobered by the events that we see taking place, we know that imminent destruction is on the horizon for mankind. In verse 8, God says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Let's notice how it's written and what it's saying. The breastplate of faith and the helmet, the hope of salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. What God had wrote. And we understand that it is through Joshua Christ, the one that died for you and me, the one that spilled his blood to the ground for all of mankind that wants to be there, part of God's plan. And it says, comfort each other with that knowledge, the knowledge that you have. Verse 19, here's a warning. Don't quench the Spirit. So many have done that very thing. And it's an admonition for you and me. You definitely do not want to do that. You do not want to quench God's Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Do not despise prophecies. God is in charge when these will take place. And it's usually when we look back and we see where we have been, just like Daniel, when he could look back and see what it all meant. God tells you and me to test all things. Let's notice. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And let's notice. Now may the God of peace himself set you aside completely. And may your whole spirit, soul and body, be preserved blameless in the coming of our Lord Joshua Christ. And he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. It's a promise. And we're entering the most serious times and the most dangerous times in all of man's history. God tells us in this book about a time of Jacob's trouble. God tells you and me to watch and be sober. And it's like I've said before, you have a front row seat to see the most awesome events in all of man's history. That's the time you live in. To raise up the foundation of many generations when they will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in, to abide in, to remain in forever, brethren, eternal. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. David wrote so much in the Psalms. And we've been through this before. But I love Psalms 27 because of it tells us about what David's desire was. David faced a lot of war in his day. He saw a lot of physical war. But David wrote about something that he focused upon, even though he lived in some perilous times, a time of war. David said, "One thing I have desired of the Eternal, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Eternal all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Eternal," let's notice, "and to inquire in his temple." And I cannot imagine being anywhere else other than in God's church. It's a frightening thing of being on the outside looking in. What David said is a lot about Pentecost, because it's about a people that will dwell in the house of their God. And that's what David's desire was, and he wrote about it in God's book. And David said it's what he sought all of his life. And he said that I may dwell in the house of the Eternal all the days of his life. And that's my desire too. And I hope it's yours. To behold the beauty of the Eternal, to follow God and see where it leads us, to inquire in his temple, that final destination, to inquire in God's temple. So when we look at what's coming, we definitely want to stay close to our God. We understand that spiritually it's a fierce battle that you and me find ourselves in. And we understand it's a war. It's a spiritual war because of those beings and because of our nature that we have, that we have to overcome. We have to use this mind with God's Spirit to overcome those human emotions, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that has taken so many out of God's church. those desires. So it's a fierce battle that we're in. We know that because of how many have come through those doors in God's church. I've sat in congregations at the Feast of 15,000. I've sat in congregations today with six. I've sat in the congregation with two, my wife and myself. So it's a fierce battle that we are in. And there have been so many casualties. So many casualties that my calculator won't add them, I don't think. Not in this calculator, because it's thousands. But our lives can change in a short time. And that's all it will take is a short time when we're dealing with nuclear weapons. And once they're unleashed, it's not a pretty sight. Let's notice verse 5. For in the time of trouble, it's what David was asking. David lived in a time of trouble. David understood that when he sent a man to war, that they may not come back alive. And many have lost their lives because of what David did in his lifetime. Those decisions that David had to make, that I would not want to make. God says David was a man after his own heart. So far in the time of trouble, David was asking, hide me in your pavilion. In other words, David asked him for protection from his God. And you and me want to be protected from our God for what's ahead for mankind. And David was asking God to hide him in the secret place of his tabernacle. And he said, he will hide me. Verse 7. Hear, O Eternal, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart, my mind said to you, your face, Eternal, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. So it should be the same for you and me, to ask God to preserve our minds, not to take that Holy Spirit away from us, to hide us in His pavilion, to keep us safe. And David told God, you have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. And David said, teach me your way, O Eternal. And it's the same for you and me. We want God to continue to teach us about His ways and to lead us. Verse 12. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. And we've lived that one. The Church of God, PKG, has really lived that one. And he said, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Let's notice verse 13. What David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Eternal in the land of the living. And let's notice what else he said. David said, wait on the Eternal. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your mind. Wait, I say, on the Eternal. And that's what you and me find ourselves at the end of an age. Waiting on our God to deliver His people. That's where we are in time. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 12. And let's notice what the admonition is, what's being said. And God had it written, what you and me are to do. And it says, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may be dislocated, but rather be healed. In other words, that you may not be separated. that you may feel like you've been wounded a little. But God says, when that happens, to strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And he tells us how to do it. It's about those paths that we walk in, those paths that you and me are to dwell in. And God had it written to make straight paths for our feet, not to veer off to the left or the right, but to follow God. And that's what he's saying. Even though you may come up a little hurt, that you won't be separated from the body of Christ, but rather be healed. And the way that you do that is be going forward. Verse 22 tells us that we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the city of the living God. And I know we don't comprehend what's written here, but we have come before the great God of this universe every Sabbath and every holy day. We've come to the city of the living God. That's who we become before. And God says we come to this company of angels. We understand that 2/3 didn't rebel. Only 1/3 rebelled. 2/3 are still there, bringing about God's plan to fruition. We understand that Michael and Gabriel is there. 2 archangels that are still there. Verse 23 says a lot about Pentecost. To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn. It's about what God is building. The church of the firstborn, which are registered in heaven. The judge of all. To the spirits of just men being made perfect. That's a better way of saying it. In verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. So if we turn away from the great God of this universe, the very one that is guiding and leading us today, that switch can be flipped instantly if you do that very thing. And it will be, like Ron said, the body snatchers will come through and take your mind, and you will not have this understanding anymore. And it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And it should bring you to your knees to have that understanding. Indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, of things that are made. Let's notice that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. We have that understanding that we are receiving this kingdom that this is speaking about. That kingdom that cannot be shaken. Well, the government of God will be here upon this earth to guide mankind about those paths to dwell in, to restore the breach, to restore the paths that man is to walk in. And let's notice where it's speaking about godly fear. We know that there's a time when God will gather up those beings and put them in their prison, in their chains. And he will put them in that pit where they will not have influence on the mind of man for 1,000 years during the millennium. And God said through Isaiah that he would raise up the foundation of many generations. God has promised this, that it would take place. But we understand we are on God's time. And it says that you and me should serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. God shows us his plan that he has for his people that will be the first fruits. We understand they will be offered a blessing of becoming a part of the God family and to live in that God family as a spirit being for eternity. You have that understanding. So let's go back. We know it by heart, but let's turn over to Revelation 14, because we are human beings. And God reminds us year by year through the holy days. So let's go back and look at what takes place in Revelation 14, and let's go through it. Because there was a picture painted during the ceremony of the first fruits on Pentecost. And we understand they were pictured by those wave loaves that were weighed. We know that those were with leaven. So let's see what God says and understand how those loaves were cleaned up. But these two wave loaves pictured the ones that God has called out of all of mankind, out of all of man's years upon this earth. And we find in verse 1, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written upon their foreheads. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And the sound of harpists playing their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000. And we understand that there are 2/3 of those angelic beings that did not rebel. And we don't think about that a lot, but they're also there observing what is taking place. But this tells us who that 144,000 is, and that they were redeemed from the earth. And in God's plan for Pentecost, it's about those that would be redeemed from the earth, those first fruits. And God had this plan from the very beginning of time. And these are the ones. Let's notice how they were cleaned up. And we'll see what God calls them once they were cleaned. Who were not defiled with women. So this is the analogy that is used, that God uses in his book, because we're physical beings and we understand this. We understand the symbolism that God is using. For they are virgins. They've been cleaned. They've been washed through that blood that was spilled to the ground. So this is spiritual. And it paints us a picture down through time what has taken place. And these are one, let's notice, who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So it's about the ones that were faithful. The ones that God said to stand fast, just like all of God's servants have to do. God calls these virgins. God has cleaned them up. They have obeyed their God. And we can see the end of the story for them at this point. They are not defiled with the ways of that world that they came out of, those religions that they came out of that dominated the world during their stay upon this earth. And it explains it that they were redeemed among men, as I said, being first fruits. We understand that Satan is still out here. We understand that God tells us that he is like a roaring lion. We know that he wants to know God's every move. But God does things in a certain way, and it paints you and me a picture because of this being. So that's why you and me have to follow God and where he leads. And that's why we have to turn right, and that's why we have to turn left, because of that being. And we cannot know until God reveals it through his servant. And it always becomes clear when we look back. Like I said earlier, my wife and I have made many, many turns since we've been in God's church. And we will continue to make those turns. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's back a few pages. In verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Joshua Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Joshua Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So we understand that God's church does not cease to exist. We also understand that God has a plan, and in his plan it talks about an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that inheritance will not fade away, who are kept by the power of God. Let's notice, through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So this is telling us about what we understand. We understand we have this adversary. We understand that we have this physical flesh. We understand we have these lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that we have to deal with. We have this spiritual war that we are in. That's what it comes down to, that spiritual war. And it's between these 2 ears. It's where it takes place. And we have to go through many trials to be cleaned up, to be what we just read about in Revelation 14, to be called virgins. But for now, we have some fiery trials. God's people will always have trials, and it's meant to be that way. It's not meant to be easy. But it says, God's church have been grieved by these trials that come upon us as the people of God. But we always go forward, regardless of the trial. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that's what God says about your faith, more precious than any gold, any precious things that you could see upon this earth that has been created, though it is tested by fire. And it is. We're living it. We're living that test. And it says, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Joshua Christ. And we are be tested by fire to see if we will go forward and follow God. And all of God's people have faced these fiery trials, though some have been worse than others. We live in a wonderful time upon this earth, where our travel is nothing like what they had to go through. You're sitting in this air-conditioned room, somewhat air-conditioned. And it's a spiritual war that we're in. And I know we cannot always comprehend it, these trials that we go through. Verse 8 tells us, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Let's notice, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we are blessed to live at the end of this age. There are those that the Apostle Peter told us about. There were those that I talked about earlier, prophets that wanted to know what you know today. And they inquired and searched diligently. And that's what it's talking about, the time that you and me live in. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. So you and me have much knowledge today. And that's what these prophets was looking for, the time when Christ would come and become the Passover, and that last 2,000 years that would take place. And now you're at the end of that 2,000 years. And you have this knowledge that they were searching for. They wanted to know the end of it all. And you have that knowledge. You can look on the horizon and tell that man does not have much longer. This can not go on forever. Those weapons that are there will be used. In verse 13, let's notice, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Joshua Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the lust, former lust is in your ignorance. In other words, stand fast. Don't go back into Satan's world where we were ignorant to God's plan. But protect this mind that God has given you. And this is telling us, so when doubt comes into your mind, nip it in the bud quickly. That's what it means by gird up the loins of your mind. Bring the body into subjection of God's way of life. That's what it's saying, and go forward. And understand where God is working, and understand that this spirit world is battling for that mind that you have. We are to remember where we learned the truths of God. Remember from whom you got the truth. Remember where the truth is today. Who has that truth? You received all of that through God's church and through God's ministry and through God's Spirit that opened your mind. It's how you understood about the Sabbath, the holy days. And that's why you're here. Because of that understanding that God has given to you. And I hope you are thankful for that understanding. Verse 15. But as He called you is holy, you also be holy. Let's notice, in all your conduct. In other words, the way that you're walking in that path. Don't step off that path. Pay attention to where you're going. Because it is written, let's notice, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, watch your conduct. How you deal with one another. So this is the time that you and me gird up the loins of our mind. And we are to be sober. And to understand that God is in charge. And it's time to be obedient, to stay on that path. And to keep our focus on what's ahead for the church of God. The one that is preparing for that kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. In just a short while now. I hope you understand the seriousness of the times that we live in. I hope you are so thankful for that calling that you have. Verse 17 tells us, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. So notice what's being said, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We have seen so many go against God without any fear. But we better have godly fear as we walk on that path that He has set forth for you and me. You definitely want to be close to God. Just like David said, that was his desire. And that's to be our desire, to stay close to God, to stay on that path. Those paths that will be restored for all of humanity. Verse 18. It says, we are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold. And we forget these things so often because we have to live our daily lives and it's hard to always focus upon what Christ did and what we were redeemed with, that blood that was spilt to the ground. We forget what Joshua Christ went through for you and me to be sitting here today. We forget that He was without spot and blemish. And He lived His life upon this earth without sin. We forget that He covered our sins. We forget that all we have to do is repent quickly when we find ourselves in sin. Hopefully everyone is thankful for what He did so that you can go before God and your sins are cleared out. Verse 22. Let's notice what was being written. Since you have purified your souls, your lives, let's notice, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, through that Holy Spirit that you have in your mind that guides you to those commandments of God. The one guides you to the one that opened your mind. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another with fervently with a pure heart. And it should not be an issue in the church of God to do that thing, to love one another, to have that respect that we talked about earlier for one another, the way we live our lives with one another, the way we deal in our marriages with one another. We all have to repent of those sometimes when we say things we shouldn't say. Verse 24 tells us, all flesh is as grass. You're only here for a little while. And God says, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. In other words, that grass will wither and the flowers will fade away. But the word of God endures forever. This flesh passes away. Poof, we are gone. And I'm sitting here telling you, life is short. And I understand I'm on borrowed time. I'm well past the 70. And I know that we won't endure forever. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 2. It's where Peter describes something for you and me. 1 Peter 2, and let's begin in verse 5. And Peter uses a good description here. And it says, "You as living stones are being built up a spiritual house." Just what we've been talking about. The ones that who will walk in those paths of God. And it tells us who we are. And it tells us about a holy priesthood that will offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Joshua Christ. "Therefore, it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.' Therefore, to you who believes, he is precious." Let's notice. "But to those who are disobedient, the stones which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." And that is what will happen to your mind when you stumble. "Being disobedient to the word to which," let's notice, "they were appointed." And that is very true. And we know that there will be weeping and gnashing at the end for those that have done this thing. Those that have stumbled, being disobedient to God's word. And it's people that were appointed to God's word. That's what it says. And let's notice verse 9. "But you as a chosen generation," better said, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." So this applies to you and me too at the end of this age, the church of God. So we go forward and we be thankful to God and his Son for that, what they let us see. And let's turn over to Hebrews 2 and let's begin to finish up. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 1. And this is telling you what I've just been telling you. To take heed and to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. In other words, staying fast in the truth. God tells us what will happen if we become unthankful and neglect what God has given to you and me. Paul said, "How will we escape if we neglect that salvation, which at the first to be spoken by the Lord was confirmed to us by those that heard it? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." Paul is confirming that God had a plan from the beginning. And this plan included mankind. Verse 6. It's the question that David asked. "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him?" So the question is, why would God do any of this? And what is man that you would have such a great plan for him? Verse 7. "You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Joshua Christ, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing, let's notice, many sons to glory. It's part of the plan. It's why you're here. And if you turn your back on that, I don't know where that would leave you at this time in God's plan. And it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, through those trials. It's not meant to be easy. But we always follow God. That's how it's done. We go forward. For both he that sanctifies, set aside those who are being set aside, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, let's notice, I hope you understand what you have been offered. Hope you are thankful for that understanding. To be a part of those that will raise up the foundation of many generations. To be a part of those that will be called the repairer of the breach. The restorer of those paths. The paths that mankind was meant to dwell in, to walk in, and to remain in forever, for an eternity. To be cleaned up, to be called virgins, everyone. And I hope Joshua Christ can say this about you at the end. And he said, here am I and the children whom God has given me. And it's an awesome plan, brethren, that God has for you and for all of mankind, those that want a part of this plan, to become Elohim. So you and me go forward until this part of God's awesome plan is complete. So be thankful for the understanding that you have been given from the great God of this universe.